Welcome to Our House with one of Australia's leading auctioneers, Rod Amos, and buyer's agent, Matt Sharp. And now for your dose of information and observation about real estate across the nation. Let's go live to your host, the voice of the National Rugby League, Steve Allen.
Episode 37 of Our House. Sharpie and I in the same room. Matt Sharp from Sharp Property Buyers. We're in the man cave. Rod is on the beautiful Gold Coast. Good morning, mate. How is it?
Well, it's wonderful up here at the local headquarters of Sharp Property Buyers Gold Coast. Perfect last couple of days, but the subtlety is through and the cloud is certainly heading up for New South Wales at a very fast pace.
Yeah, and I've just come back from WA for State of Origin 2, and it was spectacular in West Oz. Just absolutely gorgeous. One of the best games I've ever seen, too, in terms of atmosphere, and what a win by New South Wales, Sharpie.
Yeah, it was unbelievable game. It was so fast. I don't know how they do it. The players, it just seems like every single game, it goes up another level. But look, I've got to be honest, I'm not a big fan of the games going over to Perth, but off the back of that game and the quality it was and how, I guess, enthusiastic the crowd was, I got to say, you know, it was a great spectacle and I'm glad it did get moved to Perth. What was it like over there?
Look at the spaceship, Steve. I mean, it was sold out, mate. It was literally at standing room only, wasn't it?
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah. It's one of the best Origin games I've ever been to.
Really?
Easily.
Wow.
And I don't mind it going there because do you want to spread the game? I feel like we need to. And, you know, there's a lot of talk now that there could be a WA team aligned with the North Sydney Bears.
Yeah, and look, and I agree. We've got to give something, right? And that is, you know, putting our best product in new areas to grow the game. But, yeah, look, I agree. That was one of the best games I've ever seen. I was a little bit speechless. Even towards the end when Nathan Cleary scored a couple of those tries, like Queensland was still coming off the line so fast and he was able just to sort of, you know, slice them apart.
Was there a heavy dew at the stadium?
No, they had some rain earlier in the week. And that's a very good question, Rod, because you would have seen James Tedesco slipped all night long. He was like a horse that's not a mud runner. And
yeah, like in ice skates, and he wasn't the only one.
Yeah, so
as the saying goes, a dog on wet lino.
Yeah, so we saw there was an under-19 game and a lot of those kids were slipping. So I'm surprised some of the senior players didn't observe that and maybe change their studs. Would you have done that, Sharpie?
No, I noticed a few of them did have the old metal sprigs in, but I think these days, you know, they're so hard to get those metal studs. But yeah, it was evident. You could see it out there. A lot of players slipping over.
And I should say too, boys, so it's Optus Stadium and there's not a bad seat in the house. Now, normally I don't like watching rugby league in a round, in a circular stadium, but the stadium is so good.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And it's a new stadium, right? It's only a couple of years old,
yeah.
3 years old.
It's one of the world's best stadiums, no doubt about it. Hey, let's get cracking. So we've got a lot to step through, including from our naming rights partner, Smith & Sons. Neil O'Brien from Avoca Beach will join us. Sharpie, you probably see his van moving around a lot doing some beautiful renos.
Yeah, we do occasionally. We see the Smith & Sons car getting around Avoca Beach and whatnot. So I'm excited to chat with Neil.
Hey, Rod, we're going to start with the auction numbers. Then we'll dissect some information that Michael Yardney put out. And I believe Louis Christopher has also released something in the last couple of days about the state of the market. So let's get cracking with the auction update.
Well, Steve and Matty, if we read the papers and listen to the broadcasters and the clickbaiting and all the rest, the Australian housing market's in dire crisis. I think we'll be able to refute so much of that, what we talked through today as well. But certainly it's going through very much a settling process after capitalisation and a slowing market, or let's just say cooling back down to normal levels. Because if we were to look at the auction results, they are pretty much representative of what an average market's like, certainly not a bad market. In fact, last weekend, Sydney's auction rates increased from the weekend before. Now, mind you, that was off a low base of 60%, but it was up to 62%. Still good number, 770. Melbourne was slightly above the previous weekend's at 64%. Brisbane, well and truly eclipsing the Saturday that 15th with 68%. That was an improvement on 50%, and exactly the same numbers. So we've certainly seen some forecasting that Brisbane's going to remain one of the healthiest markets throughout Australia, that and Adelaide. That's indicated by quite good performances there. Adelaide nonetheless dropped slightly from the previous weekend, 76% clearance, and that's just phenomenal for Adelaide. and Canberra down to 57% off 62% the previous weekend. Now, remember, even earlier this year and certainly the last 2 years, Canberra has been the standout city for performance. Earlier this year, it was still up in the high 80s, up into the 90%. In fact, Saturday the last year prior was 93% clearance. So Canberra certainly settled back down to more normal figures of clearance rates of that 57%. And as I say, when we're talking about the market, gentlemen, these clearance rates are what are indicative of a normal, healthy, balanced market.
Couldn't agree more, Rod. And, you know, as other team members within our team will tell you, is, you know, we're still missing out on properties interstate. So there is still some serious demand there in areas across Australia. And one thing that I noticed over the weekend, just here on the Central Coast throughout opens, is the inspection numbers were way up. So I guess I think now that the dust has settled a little bit in terms of, you know, the election and also, you know, there has been a rate rise or a cash rate rise recently.
All right. Well, look, that's certainly the trend. And as I say, newspapers need to sell newspapers, sell headlines. The feedback we're getting is, yes, the market is settling, but only a few small percentage points. Now, one of the really interesting articles that caught my eye was one that Louis Christopher, we've spoken with Louis for years, and Steve, while we're talking historically, remember, it seems like every year over the 20 years that you originally, Brent and myself, have been doing our house, there's somebody predicting that the market is overfueled, overheated, is going to collapse. It's going back to about 2008, and we had the eminent professor of real estate, mind you, from the US of A, declaring the Australian market is overvalued by 50%. The bubble will burst, the balloon will collapse, and it'll be giveaway prices in real estate. Well, we're getting the same kind of media activity because it sells a lot of readership. But in real terms, to quote Louis Christopher, the housing markets could fall further through 2023 if interest rates continue to rise. The availability of the rental market is the worst since it's ever been since World War II. Now, that second line offsets some of the bad nuances we've had dedicated towards the market. The rental market is the worst it's been since World War II. So obviously that's still attractive for investors this year and in the coming year, given what's happening with the stock market. But Louis Christopher, for his research for the ABC last week, house prices to decline by up to 8% in 2022. Now, I'm still going to reflect back on the fact that in 2021, we had upwards of a 30% capitalization throughout Sydney and the Central Coast. That had come back by 8%. It's still giving better than 20% capitalization over 2 years. I don't think that's anything to be sneezed at, Matt.
Hey, boys, I travelled obviously to Canberra on Friday for the Women's State of Origin, then made my way over to Perth. And
yay, the Blues.
I'll dismiss that, Rod. If the show's about information and observation about real estate across the nation. So Canberra's expensive to get into, isn't it? So the median last year was over $1 million. Perth looks like there's still some good value there in a lot of the suburbs where you might be able to buy around 500,000, Matt.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, too, they have got some of the most exclusive property in the nation as well.
Yeah, they do. And it's certainly more affordable over there in Perth. But one of the things that Rob mentioned was around, you know, the housing prices crashing and whatnot. One of the main factors as to why the Australian property market is so strong is because of our employment, right? And just going back to Canberra, one of the reasons why the Canberra property market's so expensive is because there are a lot of professionals in, you know, that live in Canberra. So they obviously have higher budgets to buy. So that's going to drive the price up slightly. So that's why the Canberra market's so expensive, because you have those high quality buyers, if you like, and obviously those higher income earners that are out there shopping around looking for properties.
Yeah, I think last year, Rod, you might be able to have the exact number, but the median in Canberra was over $1 million in 2021.
That's it indeed. And they experienced upwards of 30% capitalization, as did Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne throughout that period as well. So as I say, if the market cools a little by 8%, unless it was a few select people who bought in the last 6 months of last year, really your value, your equity in your property remains unchanged from what you originally purchased it for. If not, if anything, it's still improved.
In Perth, the drive from the airport, you're seeing these absolutely enormous infrastructure projects. and you see some beautiful housing as well. And it's a city where it looks to me like things are thriving over there in the West.
And Rod, you'll probably agree with me here, is one thing that's a key indicator whether or not a property market or a city's going to boom is how many cranes are in the air, right? So if there's loads of cranes and loads of infrastructure happening, obviously that means more jobs for the local area. Then once that construction's finished, obviously more jobs again, and then, you know, interest will increase from there in terms of property market and whatnot, and people looking to buy it.
Well, where optimum buying is, I don't mind saying that your offsider up here at Sharp Properties, Gold Coast, was doing a lot of research the last couple of days, both in WA and also, I think it was Christie's Beach, South Australia, just one of the southern Adelaide suburbs, only slightly out of the city centre. Now, Adelaide's still got fantastic capitalisation happening this year relative to the rest of the country. But nonetheless, the buying and the returns seem to be still very good there as investment properties, both Perth and Adelaide.
Hey, do you reckon you could get Rod across to Sharp Property Buyers? Like, I mean, and what would the salary cap be to get Rod on board? Because he's the man.
It'd be sombrero.
Hey,
I need to dress in black, Steve, and skinny-type black jeans aren't necessarily my style.
Hey, boys, I know we're going to get to Michael Yardney, but what caught my eye, and let's stay on the rugby league theme. So this is off realestate.com.au. Cooper Cronk and his wife Tara Rushton. Now, Cooper, one of the best halfbacks we've ever seen. Sharpie, you're a halfback yourself. Give us a quick analysis.
He's an absolute tradesman, isn't he? Probably be even beyond a tradesman. He manufactured his game into focusing on his, I guess, best abilities and his strengths. I mean, to go down in history, I think he'll be one of the best, you know, halfbacks of all time. He won multiple premierships across, you know, two different clubs and, you know, a handful of origins as well. But yeah, special guy.
Yeah, and his wife Tara, you know, fantastic presenter. She's done so well with the football. And they have just purchased $8.75 million home on Sydney's Lower North Shore through Bell Property. They sold their home in Mosman for $4.95 million. Bought it for 3.5, so a nice little profit there. Cooper also sold his Richmond townhouse down in Melbourne, 1.441 mil. It was listed between 1.2 and 1.3, but it cost him five.
And it sold for 1.5.
Yeah, 1.441, but it cost him 579 originally in Richmond. By the way, boys, the median. So congratulations to Cooper and Tara. They've got a beautiful little family, two children, same as you, Sharpie. Mosman median. You'll love this. $5.350 million based on 239 sales last year.
That is incredible.
Yeah, you look speechless.
That is absolutely incredible. We were talking about the modest old Christie's Beach 5 minutes ago and all the way up to the penthouse in Mosman.
Yeah. All right, let's get cracking on Michael Yardney's observations. So Michael joined us on the radio show for probably over a decade, and we love his wife Pam as well. They'd often come to the studio and then go out for lunch afterwards, the long lunch. So, Rod, we start with 10 reasons why our property market won't crash.
Look, and again, Michael just sums up so many really important points, doesn't he, Matty? So, you know, as I say, we've seen these clickbait headlines of 4 by 30%. Firstly, now let's do it in successive order, Matt. Number one, the average Australian is far wealthier than ever before. Now, the stock market's just taken a little bit of a slip, but given the fact that most of Australia's wealth is tied up in property, the growth that we've seen over the last 3 years certainly offsets what SQM research is suggesting might be an average of an 8% retraction over the next couple of years. So 2020, 2021 were basically years like no other as far as capitalisation and growth goes. And that's certainly what underpins the fact that the market is still going to remain particularly healthy, and 99% of people are going to see overall great capitalisation, having been in the market over anywhere from 2 years up to 20 years.
And as we know, Rod, during the pandemic, you know, savings rates were at the highest that they've ever been. I know CBA economists estimated that something around $230 billion in excess savings happened during the pandemic. So whenever you've got some cash buffers in place, it always puts you in a pretty safe spot in terms of, you know, your household income and your household cash flow.
The other thing, when you're talking about the income and the cash, when you look at Australian savings, the surging property prices mean, according to Michael, that many homeowners have 30% more equity in their homes. That means their repayments over mortgage money owned than they had 2 years ago, 30% greater. than 2 years ago, and combine those two with strong performing superannuation up until this last little hiccup, that will pick back up shares portfolio. And the residential property market is worth close to $10 billion. Now, only $2 billion worth of loans owing against that. So we're talking about equity. We've got 20% owing on $10 billion worth of residential property in Australia. That is just huge. And again, one of the biggest differences when people start to make comparisons between the Australian residential market and expectations, and that in Europe, that in the US, that figure there, $10 million worth of equity versus only $2 billion worth of loans against it.
Okay, so number one, the average Aussie is wealthier than ever. Number two, no sign of mortgage stress for the majority of borrowers. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we're seeing. And one thing that Australians will benefit from are the fact that banks and lenders out there will have provisions in place to safeguard us from overlending. Okay, so that was a key factor in the property bust, I guess, in the US, where banks were just lending money willy-nilly to anyone. So here in Australia, banks will do assessment rates, typically around 3% above what the current interest rate is now, and they'll assess whether or not you're going to be able to make those repayments based on that higher interest rate. So that will really safeguard us. And I don't know what you're seeing, Rod, but at the moment, I'm not seeing too many people, you know, foregoing on their loans or anything like that at the moment, which, you know, says that most people are quite comfortable in terms of, you know, repaying their mortgages.
Well, look, as we've said many times before, the banks have already been factoring this in for the last 18 months to 2 years anyhow. And those that have borrowed have already had that factored in. And the banks, the requirements, we'll cover this off in a bit more detail, are stricter than ever. The only people really bemoaning this are not those that already had established mortgages, because that safety buffer's built in, but it's people trying to get in the market now, the hurdles they're facing. But again, those hurdles are being able to protect their own interests and the ability to repay on a mortgage should they secure one.
Number three on the list, interest rates are still low. Now, Rod, you've mentioned on the last couple of episodes a couple of times Philip Lowe has made some comments. He doesn't want to return to the 1970s. Do you want to elaborate on point number three?
Well, look, certainly we are. Now, one thing I'm still going to go back to is the average, if you were to look at the theoretical average interest rate for Australia, should be somewhere between 6 to 8% for mortgages. That's basically something that's historical. So let's not be lulled into this ridiculous thought that, gee, interest rates are going up. They're at an unnaturally low level. And the only reason that they're at that level, as it is worldwide, is because of 2 years of COVID. They've been reduced down to that worldwide to keep economies happening, to keep people employed. And again, we'll cover that off again, because that's the other big buffer, the level of employment that we have, which allied is with our income and ability to purchase and repay properties. So with the interest rates, realistically, level should be somewhere around 6 to 8%. We're still back into the capital rate is under 1%. And though it goes upwards, we know that the lenders are factoring it in. You as a lender and a repayer, yeah, it's another extra hurdle. Might need to bring that bottle of wine back from the $50 bottle back down to the $25 bottle. But it has all been factored into the equation. And yep. Again, the capitalization built in the market offsets that.
You're buying $50 bottles. Jeez. High flyer. Hey, by the way, boys, these are the 10 reasons why our property market won't crash from Michael Yardney, and we love his podcast. We've loved having him on our show over the years. Number four, we've spoken extensively about this, but banks are conservative with stress testing loans. So we might skip over that. We know that the bar's been raised. Number five, rising interest rates didn't make the market fall in the past. Boys, do you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I mean, rising interest rates is only one factor in whether or not property prices are going to go up and down. Some other factors that we spoke about earlier is obviously low unemployment rates is critical. Savings is critical as well. So I think it does have an impact, but it's not a sole reason, right? Would you agree, Rod?
Look, absolutely. And I'm still going to recount my own experience and that of many people probably listening to the podcast back in the late 80s. Interest rates over virtually an 18-month period went from an expected average of 7.5% to 7.75% up to 18% over that period of time. Now, not only were those interest rates severe, and I'd only just taken out a new mortgage and had that increase as well, but our level of employment was nothing like it is now. It was far worse a situation with the level of employment. That was one of the greatest kicks to the residential market. In fact, it was stagnant for a good year or two during that period. But again, let's look at the figures. Interest rates of 18%, unemployment levels at about 7.5% to 8% in the late 80s, 88, 89, 1991 period. That did certainly slow the market right down, but there was very little retraction on price, even given with that. Properties were slow to transact, but certainly we didn't see a crash in prices then. And if we didn't see a crash in prices then, I can't really see the 3% to 4% mortgage rates is going to create a market crash here in Australia.
Sorry, Rod, I'm laughing. It sounds like you're on the dark side of the moon suddenly. Well, what's happened up there on the Gold Coast?
I do not know, mate. I'm in a quiet, secure room. I'm looking out at a very relaxed dog on the veranda here.
Yeah. Are you like the bubble boy? You in the bubble?
I am, mate. I am in my youngest granddaughter's bedroom sitting at her desk. Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff. Hey, by the way, I digress. I'm going to come back to this list. You know how you gave me the Bruce Springsteen autobiography?
What did you think of the book, Steve?
I'm 150 pages in, and it deserves a Pulitzer Prize. It is some of the best writing I've ever come across. And what about all the setbacks and roadblocks he encounters on his way out of Asbury Park to international stardom?
And that's it. Most people don't realise that Bruce was a surfer from his early days as well, too. Now, he braved somewhat colder water and temperatures than we have here. He was surfing Long Island and up in New York State as well, too. But as I say, there is just such a level of storytelling and honesty in that biography, isn't there?
Yeah, I love hearing, too, how he met the original guys out of the E Street Band. And it's just a sensational read so far. I really love it, Rod, and thanks for loaning it to me. Let's go to points.
Well, the one thing you need to do is watch. It ran on Broadway for 18 months nonstop, where Bruce basically did a stage presentation from his books, but intersperse that with the songs of the particular periods and the rest. And it's just an actually open heart address to the audience, the trials and tribulations of family and relationships, but just an absolutely superb person.
Yeah, well, he was influenced by the blues, and he also, I love the way he writes about seeing Elvis Presley for the first time on the Ed Sullivan Show. And that pretty much changed the universe as we know it, when the American market saw Elvis Presley. But then he's heavily influenced by Bob Dylan, and he wanted his writing to be so meaningful for the American market, and certainly panned out that way. What a legend.
Yeah, look, it's certainly in the top five I've ever had the pleasure to read.
All right, back to Michael Yardney's list, and I really want to get your thoughts on points 6 and 7. These are really interesting to me. So, a dire supply shortage ahead.
Yeah, and this is what we spoke to Dr. Andrew Wilson about a few weeks ago on the podcast, was the supply chain in Australian property. There's just not enough homes being built to keep up with, obviously, our population and our growth here. So as long as there's demand and low supply, there's obviously going to be, you know, premiums paid for property. So we are seeing that not only in the residential space where you're buying property, but also we're seeing it in rental markets as well. I think the national vacancy rate now is down at 1%, which is, you know, at record lows. And I don't know when that is going to increase, just because we're not seeing enough homes being built. And the unique thing about the Australian property market is we're very concentrated here in our areas. You know, everyone wants to live really close to the water, or they want to be really, really close to a CBD. So we don't have the infrastructure in place now that allows our population to be spread across, you know, all of our land.
Look, that's it, Sharpie. And importantly, when we're talking about that, it's an average of 1% supply in the rental market. Sydney is down to about 0.6%, 0.7%. And I dare say, I believe the Central Coast is closer to 0.4%. So dire consequences. But that means if you're looking at the properties investor, you literally do not need to factor in vacancies and not having an income anywhere from east to west, north to south in Australia.
And when you consider, you know, building material is up around 30 to 50% over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, there's not a huge appetite there for people to be building new homes. And if people are building new homes, those builders need to obviously recover the cost, the additional cost. So there's probably going to be an increase of 30 to 50% on those properties, you know, for them to retrieve their money back, the builders.
Good point, Sharpie. And let's move to number 7 now. And I really want to get both your thoughts on this. So overseas migration is going to pick up. And yeah, it has to.
It has to. And look, we live in the best country in the world, right? And I think even just as we worked our way through the pandemic, I think that was very evident. We're one of the leading nations. But, you know, we're very, very close to Asia. Not only that, we have a lot of Europeans that, you know, are prepared to move here as well to Australia. So we haven't even seen any sort of impact here, you know, in terms of overseas migration in the last sort of 3 months. I think they're only just starting to open up the borders now. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens the back end of this year and early 2023 as well, especially in that rental market. I think we'll see it there first, and then we'll see it, you know, obviously in the buying market from there.
Your thoughts, Rod?
Look, absolutely. You know, through COVID, the only areas we did see any increase in rental vacancy was the inner city areas, and that was generally due to those foreign university students not being able to access Australia. So some of that medium to high density dwellings, there was an oversupply in the rental market there. Now, that's picked up by itself without those students coming back to Australia. But as I say, the point is that we're having foreign workers coming back in. We've been crying out for that, particularly on the agricultural side, where we've all seen the images throughout the news broadcasts over the last 12 months, with farmers being forced to see fruit fall from trees because there's nobody's there to pick, harvest, get it to market. And that, again, covered off by the floods as well too, which is why we're paying for the classic $10 lettuce right now. Now, the immigration, again, with those university students coming back in, incredibly important to the economy. I think education is our third biggest earner in this country. So incredibly important to the education sector. But again, that's going to plug any hole we might have in the inner city vacancy market whatsoever, and really kicks the Australian economy back along again too, with that employment and the income derived from both sides.
The last three, I think we've covered these in some of our previous episodes. Experts routinely get it wrong. Australia's economy is strong. Australia is on the verge of a rental crisis. So any final thoughts? Michael Yardney's list, 10 reasons why our property market won't crash.
Look, certainly the unemployment is one of the prime ones there too, because employment is directly related to being able to purchase your home and most importantly, repay the mortgage as well. So we still have forecast of unemployment rate continuing to decrease right through to 2024. That's from the Australian Reserve Bank figures. You've got that in front of you there, gentlemen, as well, too. So we did go from a high in early 2020 of almost up to 7%. Right now, that's currently sitting around about the 4% mark. But bear in mind, the forecasting is it could fall further. Maximum is probably going to be 2%, but it's certainly going to fall below the current 4% that we're sitting on right now.
Yeah, agreed, Rod. And look, I think just to reiterate what Michael Yardney said, look, I don't think anyone needs to lose sleep over all of this media hype and obviously the commentary around it. Look, I think there will be some softening in the market, but if you're a long-term holder, so if you're prepared to hold the property for a long period of time, you've got good cash buffers in place, don't get too emotional about what's happening right now. You know, just go about your business and continue on as you always would.
Look, that's it. If anything, I'm optimistic for home buyers, particularly first home buyers, because all of a sudden the biggest change we've seen is the fact that there is increased supply. And look, even though the numbers are down in many cases with people withholding putting property to the market, the balance, the equation between availability and number of buyers has improved for buyers. They have far greater choice. They're able to negotiate themselves to a greater degree that they have been able to do in 2 years' time. So I just think it's a real effective and I think welcome balancing of the market.
And joining us now from our naming rights partner, now we've been loving these, Sharpie and Rod. We've got Neil O'Brien from Smith & Sons of Ochre Beach. I remember, it might have been about 12 months ago, he played a little cameo on this podcast in the Ray White office at Terrigal. Now he's back for a feature interview. Neil, good morning, mate. And Rod's got the first question for you.
Well, Neil, we've been waiting for this one for a long time. Good to have the locals on because we've been constantly spruiking that absolutely stunning update, second story, the views, the lifestyle corner of Lexington Parade and Avoca Drive at Greenpoint. I've been able to watch that come out of the ground in all its glory. Tell me a little bit about the story, about the owners and the inspiration behind that one.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, they actually got in contact with us over 12 months ago, that one. So we helped them with design phase as well. So we organised the drafty on that one, the engineer, and basically got that one from concept to where it is now, which is basically nearly handover. So they're just a young family, three young boys, and just looking to expand their house. And that first floor addition's come up a treat, which has got, you know, master suite, ensuite, study area, and a huge deck that overlooks the Brisbane water there.
Now, well, that's it. Where the location is, they're going to get quite incredible views around it. I believe the centre point for the family is going to commence shortly in the backyard.
Yeah, they've engaged a pool builder, which will really enhance their backyard and their views and, I guess, their general lifestyle. So, yeah, really good clients. They've been great along the whole process, and slight delays with that rain we had, you know, for a few months there. But
Neil. Yeah. Good to hear the builder with the eternal optimism when it comes to the weather.
So Neil, I imagine, I mean, that westerly sunset over the water at Green Point, that is one of the world's best views. Is that right?
It's fantastic. It's they've got the sort of elevation there too, where they look over the other houses. So it's just unobstructed. It's great up there.
Yeah, we would imagine that you would do most of your work around Avoca Beach, north of Avoca, maybe into Terrigal, across to Copacabana, McMaster's, which are all stunning seaside locations. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say, yeah. We've worked all over the coast, even though being Smith & Sons franchise, we do have our own PMAs, but we're sort of free to work wherever we like. We've got two jobs we've just kicked off down in Pearl Beach as well, so another beautiful spot.
Oh, you've got to explain that to our listeners. So Pearl Beach is probably some of the most expensive, exclusive real estate. It's a tiny little alcove down there. And probably if you look at the median, you're probably looking at, what would you say, Sharpie, 3 to 4 million?
Yeah, it's got to be 2+. The thing is, properties don't transact down there very often. You know, there's only a handful of properties that sell there, you know, each year. So very, very tightly held.
Yeah. What's the job, Neil?
Okay. So, we've currently got one under process now. We basically knocked down half the house and we're rebuilding it. So we're creating a 4-bedroom home sort of split level setup with, obviously new kitchens, bathrooms. So we've basically left about 3 walls standing in the whole job. So it's a nice big job, that one. And the other one is basically knockdown rebuild of a 2-bedroom cottage, which we've commenced demolition on that one, and that's ready for excavation on Thursday. So hopefully we get a bit of good weather and we can get stuck into that one as well.
I will say, Neil, it's a shame to see another one of those cottages be knocked over. I'm sure you'll do an amazing job though, but my favourite renovations down there in particular are the ones where the cottages have been refurbed, you know, and they've tried to just squeeze every little bit out of it as they can. So, beautiful part of the Central Coast.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it had its day though. The clients had it for a while. It really needed... They initially wanted to do a renovation there, but it was going to turn into basically more expensive anyway. So what we're creating down there, it's going to look pretty neat and not out of place, which is good.
Neil, that was one question I was going to ask you, because up until COVID, probably, dare I say, 60 to 70% of the property down there was owned as weekend, as holiday home.
Sure.
Since COVID, we've seen probably... primary price of residents increase up above 50% down through Pearl Beach right now. Yeah. These people had held it for a long time. You were saying, is it still going to be the holiday bolt hole, or is it going to be the family moving up from Sydney?
Yeah, okay. So the one we've got under going at the moment, they are moving up from Sydney. They purchased the property about 18 months ago for that one. They are, relocating up to sort of retirement up to Pearl Beach, but the little 2-bedroom cottage that we've just knocked down, they've had that for a while, and they were initially going to let it out as holiday letting, which I think they might be doing, but they basically use it for their own sort of personal use and extended family use as well.
All right, that's fabulous. Because as I say, it has been the trend that's happened throughout COVID with primary residents increasing, probably for the first time in, it could well be the history of Pearl Beach, because it's always been that holiday resort location, ocean one side, Brisbane water the other side.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about the lifetime there. Let's just talk about yourself, your career in the building industry. Where did you kick off? Was it straight from school, Neil?
No, I actually started off in I started a degree in exercise science. You know, I was in that sort of physical education, personal training world. But then, a few things changed, and I decided to take on a trade and picked up an apprenticeship as a carpenter, which was great. I was in the Northern Beaches there, working on some really nice homes around there, and for a great builder. And he had a great team of carpenters, which I really enjoyed what I did over there. So then that one thing led to another. Carpenter then took on my builder's license and got that, and then stepped up to a foreman's role for another good company there in Sydney, which I spent a couple of years there sort of learning the project management side of things. And that was our next step then was we basically moved up to the Central Coast, and I wanted to start my own business, but we were really new to the area. So one of the reasons we bought into Smith & Sons was just that initial footprint support. Yeah, it was good for us because we had no contacts on the Central Coast to start out with, to be honest. We had, you know, I didn't go to school here. I didn't play any sport here. So for us, it was a fresh start. But it's been good to be with Smith & Sons, and they sort of backed us all the way.
Yeah, is it one of the best decisions you've ever made?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, their lifestyle up here is fantastic. You know, I'm sitting here talking to you now, looking over at Lion Island, Palm Beach, and you can do everything here. There's water sports, bushwalking. Yeah, it's great. We're loving it.
Yeah, you sold me. And just out of interest, mate, have you enjoyed the backstory from some of your Smith & Sons fellow franchisees? Because we've heard about people that have been in the military, that have been on totally different pathways. Some have been in the, you know, police force. And then suddenly they end up, you know, on this Smith & Sons pathway.
Yeah, I guess my pathway is a bit more traditional. Yeah, some carpentry, some foreman to builder. But I guess that's the beauty of Smith & Sons. You get to talk to a lot of different variety of guys who have come from different backgrounds, and they all have their own different ideas on how to do business. And that's one of the reasons why I did jump on board. There's a lot of older heads and older builders involved already, and I sort of picked their brains before I signed up. And I remember one guy, Brett from Hornsby, saying that he wished he did it, you know, when he was my age. So that really tipped it over the line for us.
Yeah, and did you scoop the pool? Did you win some awards up in the top end when you had the national awards recently?
We just did. Yeah, we did, mate. We did. We got it was nice to pick up a couple of awards, the social media stuff. So it's really, you know, back to my wife on that sort of gear. But it was just, yeah, good to get away with the group. We'd only, you know, been 2 or 3 years since we'd had an AGM. It was great to catch up with everyone, mate. It was, a good experience to be up there around Darwin as well. I'd never been up there before. So, you know, that was another benefit of the Smith & Sons crew. You sort of get to travel a bit and have all these AGMs. And, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, disappointing Steve Allen wasn't up there as the master of ceremonies in the top end. That's probably the only downer.
Didn't get a ticket, Steve. I'll have to ask. I'll have to chase that one up with Mark, huh?
Yeah, we'll talk to the big kahuna about that one.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got to give a shout-out. You mentioned your wife. So is she the backbone of the operation?
Yeah, mate. We're sort of set up myself as the builder, sort of project manager, and Ali, my wife, she does all the administration. So she's right in the business and looks after the sales and, you know, sort of client liaison as well. So she's right in there with you. Yeah, so it's great.
Hey, would you believe we've lost Rod Amos? His battery's gone flat on the Gold Coast.
Or the surf's pumping.
Yeah. That is classic Rod Amos for you. Great to have you on the show, Neil. Pleasure talking to you again, mate. And all the very best for the rest of 2022.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, mate. Cheers.
Neil O'Brien from Smith & Sons at Avoca Beach. So we've lost Rod. Sharpie, that's a wrap for episode 37. Any final words?
No, it was great to have Neil on. What a great story. But I'm excited to see some of the transformations that they've made, and especially the one down there at Pearl Beach.
Yeah, and Greenpoint. I'd love to see that one as well. Mate, you're off to Townsville.
I am. So as you know, we buy properties all over Australia, and part of our research is obviously going to the locations that we're buying in and, you know, getting boots on the ground, so to speak. So my team and I have been doing extensive research, looking at data, and Townsville seems to be looking as a very viable option for certain investors. So flying up there tomorrow for a few days, speaking with some agents, trying to get a better understanding of the layout of the land.
You know, I would love to hear what you come back with, because I was up there for State of Origin 1 last year, and I love Townsville. It's been a long time since I've been up there, but it is thriving, and it ticks a lot of boxes in terms of lifestyle. So really looking forward to your analysis when you come back.
A couple of initial concerns, and probably why it's taken us some time to buy up there, is, you know, the crime rate you know, is a factor there. So we need to be really careful about the exact location that we're buying in. Also, the unemployment rate's typically been quite high. I think it was around 2017, 2018, the unemployment rate was over 11%. However, that's now changed. It's down to around 4%, which is, you know, it's quite a healthy economy there. And of course, the obvious is some of the natural impacts that you're going to, you know, maybe face up there. So flood zones and tropical weather. So all that aside, looking really, really promising. And I think if, you know, in terms of price point, we mentioned Christie's Beach and Perth. I'm going to say in Townsville, in a decent suburb, you know, you're probably talking around $350 to $450 for a property up there. So I guess it's entry-level investing and entry-level buying.
Yeah, and you mentioned about crime. Now, when I was up there, I spoke to some lifelong locals, and that was one of the first things they mentioned. So there has been some real issues around that, but it's also, from an investor point of view, it's a university town. It's also a military town as well. So they're not relying on the one industry, and of course, tourism as well.
Yeah, exactly. Very diverse economy. A lot of the government spending has been targeted towards the military in Townsville. So that gives us confidence that, you know, the government obviously have confidence. They're expecting that area to grow. So, yeah.
That is episode 37. We've lost Rod due to the flat battery. Thanks again to Neil O'Brien from Smith & Sons, and we'll catch you next time on Our House.